And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Wow. What a great reminder of what it's going to be like someday when we spend an eternity with Him in a place that He's been creating for us because of our trust in Him as Lord and Savior. But between now and then, and even back when Jesus was walking the face of this earth, Jesus said, the closer we get to my return, the closer I get to coming back and taking my bride home, things are going to get worse. And in fact, and I apologize, technical difficulty, something between my office and in the Wi-Fi space in Nikki's computer, my PowerPoint's gone. Josh said, you want me to stall? I said, no, I'd have to rebuild it. It took me about an hour and a half to do it, so we didn't have that much stall time. And so you're just going to have to look up the verses. Does that be okay? And so if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 24, let me remind you of what Jesus said to His disciples talking about His return, and they were hoping it was going to be soon. Okay? Look what He says in chapter 24. And start and read with me about verse 9. It says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And He says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus said, the closer it gets to my return, love is going to just fall by the wayside. And when love falls by the wayside, then hatred, selfishness, all of that increases. Signs of this messed up world that we live in are everywhere. There's messed up families, messed up marriages. If you've been watching the news, we got a messed up political system. It is messed up. And just when you think it can't get any worse, Jesus said, hey, the closer it gets to my return, you ain't seen nothing yet. That scares me. But I'm grateful for the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I sent this to Mike this week, and Pastor Adrian Rogers said this. He says, God's will is what we would want for ourselves if we were smart enough to want it bad enough. If we were smart enough, we'd want what God wants for us and not what we want for ourselves. I love that quote. If you get a chance, he comes on about 8:30 every week, and I listen to him as I'm taking Dimitri and Tiergan to school. I get to catch the end of it. And Paul talks about this right attitude of wanting what God wants, wanting what's right. Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 5. And you can go ahead and turn there because we're going to be here for a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5. And look what it says in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5. And look at what it says in verse 16. I'm going to read from the Christian Standard Version. It says this, rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you'd almost think that Archie Bunker wrote the next line because he says, don't stifle the spirit. Anybody remember Archie Bunker telling Ethan, don't stifle, or stifle, hush. Don't squinch it. We quench the spirit when we're grumbling and murmuring and complaining and griping and fussing and fighting. Paul says, don't stifle the spirit. Be joyful. Be glad. Be thankful in everything. You know, Jesus said in John 10, I promise to give you an abundant life. I'm afraid that there's a lot of our brothers and sisters that sees that word abundant and they want to put dollar signs there. And I'm not real sure that's what Jesus was talking about. He didn't promise us a rich full of change in our pocket. He said, I promise to give you a full life, an abundant life. I think that's the word that we need to think about. So it doesn't have anything to do with money. It has everything to do with, Brother Kenny, like we say all the time, laying your head down on the pillow at night and not having any regrets. That's a pretty full life when I can lay down and do that. And I wish I did a whole lot more than I do. To live a full life, that I've done everything that I know to do with His help and with His power and with His strength. And so I can rest and enjoy life. I think sometimes a full life is determined by how we respond to life. How we respond to circumstances. How we respond to situations that are going on around us. I think one of the biggest stiflers that we have to living a grateful, joyful life, and I'm speaking for Brian Simon, is my attitude keeps me from experiencing a full life. Keeps me from experiencing all that God wants because I got a bad attitude. Because I'm more ungrateful than I am grateful some of the times. And God wants us to be grateful. So this morning I want us to look at the word gratitude. And Josh and I didn't talk about this message, but I can't tell you, I got to thinking about how many songs he sang about God's goodness. I love it when the Holy Spirit does that. Because that's the first thing. If we really want to understand gratitude, we need to understand how good God is to us. We have to have a clear vision of who God is and understand what He wants for us. You know, the enemy, he does a good job with keeping us from seeing that God is good. The enemy, Satan, the devil, will go after God's character. He'll go after what God's holding back from you. God don't want you to experience that. He's keeping all the good stuff for Himself. The devil's real good at tearing up God's character. And when you think back to what we read in Psalms 100, if you want to turn back there and look at it a minute, because I just underlined a bunch of phrases in that passage of Scripture. When you look at Psalms 100, it says, know that the Lord Himself is God. And look what it says. It's He who made us, not we ourselves. We're His people. We're His sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, sheep need a good shepherd, because sheep on their own are stupid. We make bad choices. I think I've said this before, but when we were at the children's home at Stitch, I would drive the house pop to have to go down there and help the kids with the show animals. And it used to just, this one, you could take a water hose and stretch it out across the lane and leave the gate open, and that sheep would run right up to that water hose and stop. The gate's open, he could run out, but he'll stop at a water hose. They need a good shepherd. And he says, we're His sheep. We're the sheep of His pasture. I can't help but think about Psalms 23. Anybody read the book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm? It's an awesome book. And he starts out talking about a sheep, and the impression is the sheep's bragging to all of the other sheep. The Lord's my shepherd. And He takes care of me. He does all this kind of stuff. And then somewhere in that Psalms 23, the sheep quits talking to the other sheep, and the sheep starts talking directly to the shepherd. He says, you protect me. You love me. You care for me. He's that kind of a shepherd. He loves us. So we need to understand that God is good. What I begin to understand in the world that we live in, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the devil has a problem with you having an abundant life, as long as you take credit for your abundant life. As long as you think you did it, the devil's okay with that. We got to understand that we didn't do it. It's all His. It belongs to God. God is good. God loves us. God's provided for us. And we need to keep that attitude right, that God, everything I have, as little as it is or as much as it is, it all belongs to him. And the devil doesn't want us to have that attitude. He wants us to take credit for what we get. And God wants us to understand that it all comes from him. And I think that has everything to do with experiencing a full life, understanding where it comes from. Because when I start taking credit for it, then guess what I do with my stuff? I get real protective of it. And I get real selfish with it. And I get real ungrateful. God doesn't want us to have that attitude. Paul paints a pretty powerful picture of what happens. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Ugly picture of what happens to an individual that gets ungrateful about what God has done in his life. Romans chapter 1, and start reading with me at verse 18. Love to hear the pages turn. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." But watch this. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God." And what's the next phrase? "Or give thanks." And look what happens in the rest of the verse. "But they became futile in their speculations. Foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling things." And verse 24 says, "Therefore, God gave them over." If you want to worship you, God will let you. But church, hear me. Don't be mad when things don't work out the way you think they ought to work out when you start worshiping yourself. God wants us to worship him. God wants our focus to be on him. God wants us to live the way he created us to live, the way he intended for us to live. But if you want to worship you, God will let you. I had a Facebook thing kind of pop up about 31 benefits of having a grateful heart. And as I read the article, when I went on the link and read the article, I don't get the impression that the guy that wrote those 31 things, I don't get the impression that he was a believer. I don't see anywhere in there where he claims to be a believer, but he said two things that really jumped out at me. And the first thing he said was this: an attitude of gratitude can make you happier. And then he said this: an attitude of gratitude will make you healthier. Church, if an unbeliever, I think, if the secular world can figure that out, why can't we get it as a church? Why can't we understand that as people who belong to the living God? He created us. We're his sheep. He gave his life for us. Why can't we be grateful and understand that it'll make us happier and make us healthier? As you were coming in, did anybody not get one? Everybody got one. I know I made quite a few. Good deal. Do you have one? Joshua, anybody? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and Joshua will pass them out to you. He goes on to say in this article, let me tell you what he says. He says the article went on to say that a 5 minute a day gratitude, Nikki, we're going to go ahead and use that 3 minute countdown. He says a 5 minute a day gratitude journal will increase your well-being. I know this is going to be tough for you, but I want you to go ahead and open up the sheet, take out your pen. If you don't have anything to write with, think about it. 3 minutes is a long time. It's going to feel like a long time. But for 3 minutes, I want you to read those verses, and then I just want you to begin to journal about your gratitude, how grateful you are, how thankful you are to God and what he's done in your life. Nikki, go ahead. guy that wrote the article said this, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I wish my bank account, my checking account, my savings account would do this. He said, if you spend 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, in a gratitude journal, you'd increase your well-being by about 10%. Don't you wish your savings account were getting about 10%? That'd be a pretty good return, wouldn't it? Anybody want to just share quickly? We don't have time for everybody, but just yell out quickly, what are some things that you're grateful for? Family. God. What's that? Church. Husband. Pretty good husband. Brittany, freedom. Wives, husbands. Health. Forgiveness. Joy. Not happiness, joy. Big difference. Can you imagine what it would do for our lives if we did that? What's that? Grace is a great one. 3 minutes felt like a long time, didn't it? When I did it in the office, I misread the article and tried to do it 10 minutes. And then I read the article. See, I should pay attention to what I'm reading, right? 5 minutes a day. To be grateful. To journal. I found out that I had to use a lot of scripture. Some of those scriptures that were at the top of that page. To help spark some of the reasons why I'm grateful to the Lord. There's a lot of things I believe that distract us from being grateful. Every time Princess Cruise Line or Carnival Cruise Line comes on with a vacation commercial, I get pretty ungrateful. Just being honest. Because don't we always wish we had more? Wish we could do more. And then you have to be reminded that you got a roof over your head. You got a great bed to sleep in. Got a great family to come home to. Got kids that love me. All my kids, as far as I know, have trusted the Lord and are saved. I've never gone hungry. You can tell by looking at me. So many things to be grateful for. I've got to work on that. We're reminded that not all things are good. Paul says God causes all things to work together for good. But not all things are good. It was last week that I went by and visited with Mike and Linda Hart. And Linda can't hardly stand. She can't hardly walk. She can't move herself from the wheelchair to the toilet without having to have help. And she says to me, I don't know why this happened, but God's got a plan. And I've got to trust Him. And she said, I'm grateful to still be here. Wow. Pretty powerful stuff. You know, my problem is as I get distracted by what's going on right now, I get distracted by my circumstances and my situation and what's happening and right here, what's right in my face. I get real distracted by that. I had another visit this week. I went to go see Brother Kermit and Judy in the hospital. And we actually had a conversation that went something like this. You know what? All of the stuff that we're going through right now, we won't even give a second thought when we get into eternity. That's a lot to be grateful for. Man, some of you guys have gone through some stuff. And as hard as it's been, as terrible as it's been, as many times it's caused you to lose sleep at night, when we get into eternity with Jesus, He said we're not going to give it a second thought. The hardships that we face in this life. That's something to be grateful for. So we need to know that God is good. That God loves us. He cares about us. It's obvious how much He loved us when He says in Romans 5:8, He loved us so much that He gave His only Son to die for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us that much. And so I hope that gives you a reason to be grateful. Quickly, look at the second reason Gratitude is sharing Christ through a thankful lifestyle. Our witness, sharing Christ through a faithful witness. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 13. Look what it says in verse 15. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. My grandfather, my granddad Cross, my mom's dad, when he lived in Grand Prairie, I go back, the last time, it was a long time ago, drive by and look at the house, and I thought the house was as big as our whole church building, and it's really not. And so I wrote down, I thought he had 25 or 30 fruit trees, and he probably had 5 or 6. But I know this, my granddaddy worked hard at making those fruit trees produce fruit. He'd run a little probe in the ground to fertilize them. He hung all kind of tinfoil pots and pans in the trees to keep the birds from getting them. When he moved to the lake down at Cedar Creek Lake, he had 2 at least I know of. I think there were more, but birds got the peaches before he ever thought about it, so he let them die. But he babied his pear trees. And he'd get so mad because one of his pear trees in his yard, but it hung way out over the road. And so when the bus would let the kids out, the kid would steal his pears. It'd make him so mad. Here's my point. It takes work to produce fruit. I don't care if you're growing cotton or peaches. It takes a lot of work to produce fruit. Fertilizer. Work to keep the birds from getting them. Work to keep people from getting it. Work to keep from it being too wet, too dry, too cold. I mean, some of that stuff's out of your control. But it takes a lot of work. And my point is this. The writer of Hebrews calls gratefulness the thanksgiving of our lips, the fruit of our lips. Fruit of any kind requires fertilizer. Here's my point. Some fertilizer, you know what I'm talking about, is not real pleasant to deal with. But sometimes we got to walk through the fertilizer to have the fruit. And I know in my life that's the case. Sometimes I've got to walk through some stuff in order to realize how good and how grateful I am to God and what he's been in my life. The fruit of our lips, he says, is praise, thankfulness. That's not an easy one to apply sometimes, but that's just the truth. In church, there's just sometimes we've got to experience some things that are not so pleasant in order to have a thankful heart. And what I know, again, is an attitude of thanksgiving, does that come by accident in your life? Something we got to work on. You give something to a kid, most of the time, what you got to tell them? Say thank you. We'll take it and run. And in the society that we live in, you almost think it's owed to you. And it's not. It's a gift. And you just want people to say thank you a little more. The way this passage in Hebrews reads and the grammatical makeup of the word of the verse, it's something that's a habit. It's something that we do on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident in our life. We do it on purpose. Again, another great quote from Adrian Rogers. He said, God knows how living in gratitude and thinking with gratitude will benefit us and those around us. Tell somebody thank you that holds the door open for you. Tell the lady at Walmart when she's checking out your groceries, if you go through a checkout line, tell her thank you. Most of them I go through at Walmart, they're so pitiful and mad and hate what's going on, and just to say thank you will get a smile sometimes. Acts 1:8 says this, but if you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. A witness is just somebody that tells somebody else about something that they've experienced. The writer of Hebrews says that we're to offer up a sacrifice of praise. We're to say it with our lips. That's the fruit of thanksgiving when it comes from our lips. And so what are we called to do? We're just called to go share with other folks how good God has been in our life. How good He has been to us. Talk about His goodness and be grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the witnessing tools that are out there. Back in my day as a youth minister, it was the power band when you put the little colored beads together. Or it's the little cube, the witnessing cube. The four spiritual laws, the Romans Road to Self. There's all kind of witnessing tools. You know what the greatest tool is? Is when you start telling somebody else how good God is in your life. Because most of the time they know you and they know what you've been through and they'll trust you when you say that. That's an easy witnessing tool. It's just to talk about God's goodness. Then the last thing. Gratitude is serving with gladness. Not just talking about it, but doing it. Serving with gladness. If you go back to Psalms 100 again, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with a joyful song. I've got an application on an app on my computer called the Blue Letter Bible. I hope you have that. It's a fun thing to play with. And I looked up the word serve, and then it gives you, for that Hebrew word, it tells you how many other different translations for that same word is used in the Bible. Watch this. For the word serve, however the Hebrew word is pronounced, I can't do it. I think sometimes I weird Brenda out when I hit that little speaker and it pronounces the word for me. I say, yeah, I can't say that, so I'm not going to mess with it. But for the Hebrew word serve, the word serve is used 227 times. But watch this. The word work, 6. The word labor, 3. The word do, 15. Worshippers, that's just not an attitude. That's something we do to worship. In fact, Paul says the best way to worship God is to be obedient to God. The word till, plow, is another word that's that the word serve comes from, the word till or plow, servant. All of them are action words. To serve is to do something. A lot of our folks in Baptist churches, we're real good at lip service, but that doesn't accomplish anything. You got to do work. And so when you put all of that together, I get the impression that serving with gladness, serving with gratefulness, is going to lead to me doing something. It's going to lead to action in my life. And church, when I serve with gladness, when I do ministry with a grateful heart, it's a whole lot more fun. When my focus is right, it goes a long way to make my attitude right. Then my work and my actions are going to be right. And then that just makes it more joyful. So it's going to reflect in what we say. I sit down here, I can't serve God joyfully while murmuring and grumbling at the same time. We've done this before. But I want you to say the word murmur. Now try to make it sound pretty. You can't make murmur sound pretty. You can't make grumbling. Did somebody in there do it? All right. Grumbling. You can't say the word and make it sound good. And you remember what happened when Israel started grumbling about all that God had done for them? Several times the ground opened up and closed back and just swallowed thousands of them at a time. Listen to Philippians 2. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure. Don't grumble and murmur from your mouth, Because if you grumble and murmur from your mouth, then you're not going to be blameless and pure. So the grumbling, where is it coming from? It's coming from your heart. And so Paul says, don't grumble. So that you'll be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless and in a crooked and perverted generation. First Peter, Peter says this, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Here's why. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied gifts of God, grace gifts of God. And if anybody speaks, let him speak as one who speaks God's word. If anybody serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. When I start serving to get you to say, good job, then it turns real selfish real quick, doesn't it? But when I serve, knowing that I'm his child, knowing that I can't be any more loved by him than I am right now, knowing that I'm not going to get a, I can't be any more saved than I am right now by him, then I serve out of that heart of gratitude. It sure goes a long way. And one more verse, 1 Corinthians 10. Don't complain as some of them did. And they were killed by the destroyer. These things happen to them as examples. Paul says, hey, you don't have to learn by example. You don't have to figure it out yourself. There's a whole nation of people that God made examples of for our benefit. So learn from their example and be grateful. Don't complain. And I notice that anytime you see the word complainer, grumbler, when Paul or those guys start listing lists of sin, complaining and grumbling is lumped in with immorality, fornicators, idolaters. It all gets lumped into the same thing. It's a bad thing for us to do. We need to remember that every day is a gift from God, a gift to be lived for God. And when I'm fussing and complaining, it's hard to live joyfully and it's hard to live gratefully. So as your mama used to say, watch what you say and watch what you do. We need to remember those things. And so when I'm watching what I say, then guess what it leads to? Last thing. It leads to actions. It leads to grateful actions. Church, we can give God thanks in all things, no matter what we're going through. And I think it has everything to do with knowing who he is. Knowing that he's absolutely in control. We don't know that unless we're spending time with him and spending time in his word. One of the things that's kind of hard, and Miss Linda and I had this conversation, is she said, you know what? None of what I'm going through slipped by God. It didn't catch him off guard. And if we're not real careful, I can get over here in the whys and how comes, and my attitude goes south real quick. And what I need to do is stay over here, stay in the truth of God's word, knowing that he loves me, I belong to him, that he causes all things to work together for good. And that the trials that I'm experiencing in this life, they're not even going to be a second thought in the life to come. If I stay over here, then my circumstances don't get to me near as bad if I get over here and the why and how comes. You know what I'm saying? I think it's okay to say why. I think it's okay to say how come every now and then. But when the answer don't come, then go back to what you know. Go back to what God's word says. Trust that. And see what he says. One writer said this, we thank God because he causes many a tight place to open up into the right place. Let me say that again. He causes many a tight place to open up into the right place. God knows what he's doing. And so a good activity that we need to do as Christians is, I believe, have a joyful heart. Make sure we're being joyful and thankful with the words that come out of our mouth. But don't just stop with it coming out of your mouth. Find a place to serve. Find something to do. real quick commercial. Tonight we're going to vote on ministry teams. And off the top of my head, 10 or 12 ministry teams and committees that we have. Ministry teams and committees. Church, we got to have them to function as to do what we do as a church. And there's lots of opportunities to serve. And when you realize we're serving for Him, not for us to pat each other on the back, although that's not a bad thing to say thank you every now and then, but we're serving to serve Him and to please Him. And so I'd encourage you to come back tonight and see and find out the places where you can get involved and serve in this church. Because serving God and His people, serving those people around you out there and in here, that's a big way to give thanks to Him for all that He's done. Would you bow your head with me just for a minute? This morning we've talked to the church a whole lot about being grateful and thankful. But this morning maybe you're here and you're not a believer. You haven't come to that place. And maybe the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. John tells us it's the Holy Spirit's job to draw you to Himself. It's not my job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to draw you to Christ. Maybe this morning you're beginning to sense and understand that God loves you. God cares for you. That God gave His life so that you could have a relationship with Him and come boldly into His presence. And the best way for us to say thank you to something like that is to simply submit our lives to Him and allow Him to be our Lord and Savior. So this morning, if you've never trusted Christ and you would like to talk about that, I would love to share with you from God's Word how you can know God personally through Christ. And then maybe this morning you just need to come to this altar with that list that you spent 3 minutes working on. You put it on paper, we could say that technically that come from your mouth. You said that with your heart. And maybe this morning, just by an act of faith, just by an act of doing, you come to the altar and you just say publicly, God, thank you so much for all that you've done in my life. However God works in your heart today, would you please, please respond to Him. Father, I pray in the next few minutes that your Holy Spirit, we know He's here, we know He's with us, we know He's moving in hearts and lives, and God, I pray today that you would just help us to be obedient, that we would respond, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what happens. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.